Today's message of entitled Wonder Working Power. And people might think, well, where does the Wonder Working Power come from? It's a favorite old hymn that I'm sure some of you will have come across. There is power in the blood, is the chorus. Wonder Working Power in the precious blood of the Lamb. And that's where it came from, because people think, you know, our encouragement only comes from the scripture, but a lot of these hymns are scripturally based, and a lot of them stick in the mind a lot easier than a lot of scripture. I know there are people who could recite hymns from way back. I can recite quite a few, but scripture, sometimes it's harder to get hold of, especially if they keep changing the editions of the Bible as well. You know, as a young Christian, it was all the King James, and you could recite it off, but the new translations, it doesn't seem to flow quite the same. It means the same, you know, but you got to get used to it. But trust in the Lord, because He never changes. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So let's just come in prayer before I bring the message. Heavenly Father, as we look into your word, I ask that you take away any fear that I have. Embolden me to deliver the message that you have laid on my heart with your power, with your strength. And we only want to hear from you this morning, Lord. Lord, I ask that you open our ears to hear what you have to say to each one of us. And encourage us and give us the courage to act upon it as though you are there, because you are always with us, and your direction affects our actions if we take heed of what you're telling us. Lord, we want to give you all the glory, and I ask it in the name of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, it's funny. If you were to ask people in this country, what does power mean? It depends on who you ask the answers that you're going to get. Some will reply, well, we're a good country. We're a democratic country. We've got a parliament, the House of Commons. They will make a decision, then it goes to the House of Lords for a blessing, and then it goes to Her Majesty, who puts her seal of approval on it. And only then can things come into law. And that's where we get our power from. So they believe. Yeah. Then there's a different kind of power that we all rely on. We know in our homes, to heat our homes. We've all got different power. Some have got electric heating, some have got gas, some got coal, some got wood burners. There are many various ways in which we can do it. And people think, well, that's the power that they think about. And sometimes when you're cold and you haven't got the price for the meter to keep the heating on, that will be the power that you want more than any other, and the power that you would seek. Then, of course, there are different kinds of power, aren't there? We've already talked about heating our home, but then we need power to operate things that we all use from time to time. Our TVs, how many people spend hours in front of the television set, and without electricity, they would be useless, wouldn't they? There are computers. Without the computer, I wouldn't have been able to type this. Well, I suppose I could have got a typewriter, right? Like, you know, but computer's a lot easier to use, isn't it? You know, electricity is delivered by three wires. You've got the red, which is positive. And then, of course, we've got the negative, which is normally blue. And then you've got green, and yellow now for Earth. At one time they were all different, it was just the three main colours, but now you've Earth's yellow and green. I think that's to keep sort people out who are colourblind whenever they're doing up plugs. At least that's my interpretation on it. It might not be true, but that's what I think. We went on to that. There is also gas. Coal, as we said, and wood burning for combustion engines in our cars. All of these require three elements, believe it or not. You need fuel, and you need a heat source, and you need oxygen. Without any one of those, it won't work. Same with electricity, take any one of those wires off, and it won't work. Or if you take the earth off, it'll be dangerous to work. Yeah, but they need the three to work safely. Power can also stand for strength. Some people will say, well, my power is my car. You know, it's a 45 horsepower engine in it, or 60 horsepower engine, or whatever. You know, and that's what I think power is. And there's a lot of people who put a lot of pride in speed and power in their cars. Now, car power is referred to as horsepower. So some things never change, you know. But I mean, can you imagine getting 45 horses onto your bonnet? No, but it's wonderful what they can do with technology. But that's not what I want to talk about. That's not the kind of power I want to talk to you about this morning. This morning I want us to look at what the Bible has to say about real, sustaining, and lasting power. God's wonder-working power. And how much we all need it, how much we should rely on it, and how much we can really share in it if only we rely on the Lord and go to Him with all of our problems. You know, the power of God, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Trinity. There's a three strand there as well. And three strands gives you strength. You know, rope, for example, size of rope, is normally three strands woven together to give it the strength, because if it wasn't woven together, it would be easily broke. It's the same as most wools and twines. They're all spun to strengthen them. You know, and that's what we need the power of God to do. The power of God, and if we look in the scripture, we've got one example that I'm going to take this morning to look at. And it's where God demonstrates His power. And it can be found in the book of Daniel, chapter 4, where Nebuchadnezzar is being restored to sanity after experiencing the life of an ox grazing in the grass, enjoying the dew of the morning, you know. And Nebuchadnezzar, in Daniel 4:34-35, we read, "At the end of that time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes towards heaven, and my sanity was restored. Then I praised the Most High. I honored and glorified Him who lives forever. His dominion is an eternal dominion. His kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the peoples of the earth are regarded as nothing. He does as He pleases with the powers of heaven and the people of the earth. No one can hold back His hand or say to Him, 'What have you done?'" You know, such a powerful message from, at that time, one of the most powerful kings on earth. He was a big chief of his day, who, after being brought to his knees, literally, by God, realized and openly confessed just who possessed the real power. We need to remember that. And when we're in trouble, We need to remember where the answer lies. The answer lies with the Lord. And if we go to Him in our prayers, He has the help. He has the power to help us. And He is ready, willing, and able. 24/7. There's no 8-hour wait or 3-day wait on an ambulance to come to sort you out. There's no trying to get through the switchboard to speak to your doctor. You know, you just need to ask, and He will be faithful to you. But how often do we try to sort things out on our own? And it's only after we make a mess of things and the problem gets worse, only then do we realize that the only answer is the Lord. And then do we take it to Him in prayer. I want to encourage each one of us here this morning, whatever problem that we have, no matter how small it might seem, no matter how big it might seem, He has got the answers to all problems. Remember, nothing is impossible for Him. So let the Lord direct your steps, for He knows you better than anyone else. Remember, Scripture tells us that He knew us before we were even formed in the womb, before we were knitted in our mother's womb. How could that be? Well, Colossians 1:16 tells us, "For in Him," that's Jesus, "all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through Him and for Him." Now, that's real power, is it not? Yet Jesus was willing to lay it all down at the foot of the cross so that you and I could have a way back to the Father and claim an inheritance in the heavenly kingdom. As we're informed in Colossians 2, verses 13 to 15, where we read, "When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having cancelled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross, and having disarmed the powers and authorities, He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross." You know, when you read that, it's so hard to really take it in and understand, why would He want to do that for me? Why would He want to do it for anyone? Give up His one and only Son. You know, but the simple thing is, we remember that God is love. And He is all-powerful. And He had the power to raise His Son back to life. And without His Son's sacrifice, we would be still trying to make ourselves right with the Lord by sacrificing bulls and lambs and rams on the altar, day in, day out. Can you imagine the workforce in that? But Jesus is our one and only sacrifice. There's no more need. You know, there are, in this world today, there are people who think they're powerful. They may be CEOs of large companies, or presidents of countries, or even our own prime minister. But their power is only temporary. And will eventually come to an end. You know, you just got to look at history and how many prime ministers have we had? How many presidents of the United States have they had? They're into their 50s nearly, aren't they? Or very near now. But they've all come, done a good job or a bad job, But they've all gone. They're no longer there. But the Lord is still there. The Trinity is still there. The same yesterday, today, and forever. In Job 24, verse 22, we read, "But God drags away the mighty by his power. Though they become established, they have no assurance of life." You know, that's the same with each and every one of us. We've got no assurance of life in this world, but we can have assurance of life in the next if we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. That's the power of the Lord. Now, it couldn't be any clearer that the only power that can last forever is the power of God. And if we are to survive and fight the good fight, we need to harness that power. How can we do that? The same way as the Lord Jesus did, through spending time with the Father in prayer. And we can claim Jesus' promise, as we read in John 15, verse 16, which tells us, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you." Yes, if we are to be successful in our walk and produce fruit, we will meet obstacles, troubles, tribulations, and make no mistake, to overcome them, we're going to need his power and his strength. And if you're going to need his power and his strength, then it's obvious to me that we need to remain in him. Because if we don't remain in him, how is that strength going to be transferred or conducted into our life? Yes, we need to be connected to the power source. As we've already talked about, the electric, the TV, if you take the plug out from the socket, there's no power to the set. You know, if we don't get into the scripture, we don't engage in prayer and study and worship, then we are going to become powerless. We're going to become empty vessels. And it's something that we need to be aware of. If we are to be successful in our walk, we need his power. Ephesians 6 and 12 warns us, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." Now, I don't know about you, but I find that very daunting. And to be honest, without God's help, without his hand, without his power, impossible to cope with. But you can take comfort and encouragement, for God's word tells us in Romans 8, 35 to 39, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any power, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Wow. I don't know about you, but I find that very promising and comforting. And it brings to mind a lovely song which we've sung this morning. There is power in the name of Jesus. No other earthly power can compare. When you look at the Bible, it says a lot about the power that we get and can rely on, that Jesus sent us his Holy Spirit to empower us. And let's have a look to see what power that the Holy Spirit can give us. If we look into 1 Corinthians, or 1 Corinthians 12, verse 10, to another, miraculous powers, to another, prophecy, to another, distinguishing between spirits, to another, speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another, the interpretation of tongues. There are more gifts available to each one of us, and the Lord supplies them, not as a shopping list of what you want, but he gives you what you require to do his will and his bidding, his plan for you. And that's why it's important to stay connected so that you know exactly what you're doing. But sadly, there are churches today that believe that those things of the Spirit, the spiritual gifts, are things of days gone by and are not applicable today. But on that subject, I would hold to the teaching that God is the same yesterday and today and forever. And nothing is impossible for him. That's what the scripture says, and that's good enough for me. As Christians, we need to grow. We need to mature. If we are to bear fruit, we need to be diligent to read and to study his word and to seek his face in prayer. Otherwise, how can we know what he has planned for our lives? In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3 to 7, and this is Paul, Silas, and Timothy's letter to the church in the Thessalonian church. We ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love of all you have for one another is increasing. Therefore, among God's churches, we boast about your perseverance and faith in all the persecutions and trials you are enduring. All this is evidence that God's judgment is right, and as a result, you'll be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you are suffering. God is just. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you and give relief to you who are troubled, and to us as well. This will happen when the Lord is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels. What a picture. You notice in that passage there that you've got to recognize that you will have to face troubles and tribulations. But trouble helps to build you up. It creates perseverance and endurance. In 1 Peter 3:18 to 22, we read, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, for righteousness, for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit. After being made alive, he went and made proclamation to the imprisoned spirits, to those who were disobedient long ago when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. In it, only a few people, 8 in all, were saved through water, and this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a clear conscience towards God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand with angels, authorities and powers in submission to him. You know that last verse, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand with angels, authorities and powers in submission to him. Now that's what I call power. That's what I call the wonder-working power of the Lord. I want to ask you these couple of questions, and with this I will close. Have you submitted to Jesus? Are you connected to the power source? The only power source that will never suffer a power failure. The only power source that will never let you down. And it's always ready and available to those who love the Lord. I hope and trust you can answer yes to those questions. But if you can't, I would urge you to consider your position. There are only two possible options, two outcomes: submission to Christ and enjoy eternity with him, or eternal separation and torment in hell. And the choice is yours. Let's pray. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can rely upon your strength, and that you are the same yesterday, today and forever. You're not fickle like we can be. You don't have certain whims that just fly off the handle and love us one day and hate us the next. You are constant. And Lord, we just pray that we can grow in our faith, and as we do, we can become more like your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Lord, that we can come to love people because you first loved us, and not to judge them just out of hand, but Lord, to actually love them and to point them in the direction of yourself. Lord, your word tells us that you have given us a great commission to go into the world and to preach the gospel. And that one promise that you've always given is that you're going to be there with us. We're never going to be alone. We're never going to be left stranded. You are going to be with us to the very end of the age. And Lord, we just want to thank you this morning for your word. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for the encouragement that you give to those who love you. And Lord, the blessed assurance that Jesus can be ours until we meet again. Lord, we just say, come, Lord Jesus, come. Because some of us are closer to the door than others. And Lord, you know, if we've got you in our hearts, I don't mind being closer to the door. You know, I can't wait for your return. So we say, come, Lord Jesus, come. And we thank you. Amen.